السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، دیز آیات آف دا قرآن شریف آئی ہیو بین ڈسکسنگ فور دا پاسٹ 3 or 4 weeks. وی ہیو ڈسکس سم ایسپیکٹس آف خشوع ان صلات، وچ از اے صفت آف دا مؤمنین. If we claim that we are mu'mineen, if we are claim that we are from the mu'minoon, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says one of their sifat is this, that they have khushu in their salat. They shun all things that are futile. Futile activities, futile talk, they shun, they detest, they turn away from there. They don't indulge in it. As far as zakat is concerned, taking the two different tafsirs, one is that if zakat is due, then they pay the zakat. And there's a whole chapter with regards to zakat, and this is not the forum to discuss all the details. Or they make tazkiyah of their qulub, purification of their souls, of their hearts, from all the filth in the form of malice, greed, envy, jealousy. They purify their hearts. Now we have discussed all these things to some extent. Then we were discussing zina, that they protect themselves from zina. They safeguard themselves from indulging in adultery or fornication. Last week I mentioned certain incidents and certain aspects of zina. Wallah, it is the day of Jummah, and I am sitting here. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows that how many brothers, after listening to the Jummah talk last week, telephone calls, emails, letters, and personal visits, they say, Maulana, far too long we have been avoiding listening to things like what you mentioned to us. We want to make tawbah from this sin. What I was saying was not a joke. What kind of people are involved with prostitutes and in adultery or fornication? So it is a sickness of the time, it is a disease of the time, and it is a serious disease. The governments of the world these days consider AIDS as a very serious disease. Therefore, they are prepared to spend billions. They are prepared to spend billions to find a solution to this problem. Although their whole way of looking at it may be concocted, and the manner in which they want to solve the problem is not going to solve the problem. It is going to increase the problem. And they also know at the back of their minds that the solution that we are offering to this problem is not a solution to the problem. It will definitely increase the problem. When little children are going to be taught implicit sex at the schools, and then all they will be told is that condomize, that we can just wish for the best after that. It is going to increase the problem, and it is increasing the problem. I recall having mentioned when there was a conference here on AIDS, one brother who was supplying some furniture or some equipment to an escort agency. Whether it was halal or haram, he was not interested in finding out. But the thing is that he was supplying some equipment to the escort agency. So he mentioned this to me himself. He said that that escort agency manager, he stated that this AIDS conference which is taking place here, we are so busy catering for the needs of the foreign dignitaries and people who have come here. Now they're going to solve a problem. Which kind of problem they are going to solve? So I was not in the habit of speaking out so openly. All of you have heard my speeches over the past so many years. You know that suddenly then there is this change, and why? Because when people who are frequenting the masjids, people who are connected with deen, people who are 5-time namazis, people who have got plenty of Islamic knowledge and education, and people who give charities for masjids and madrasas and deeni institutions, and those people who make their inputs when it comes to programs over the radio stations as to how to solve the problem of the Muslim Ummah, when we are going to get those people indulging in adultery, in fornication, then what results do we expect? I am carrying a letter with me in the pocket right now, and only the person who wrote and I know, and Allah Ta'ala knows. Therefore nobody will know who I am referring to, because these type of things are so common. The person says that every time I create a problem with my wife, it is not a genuine problem. It's not that that the argument is a genuine argument. He says, I create a problem so that I find an excuse to get away from home for a few days. And where do I go? He says, crack, cocaine, and anything else you can think of. And with prostitutes I spend my money. Thousands of rands are spent. But now I am about to lose my wife and children. I want to become a good Muslim. It's the first time that I heard your talk last Juma. It was coincidental that I happened to be in the masjid. Says, Maulana, I want a solution to my problem. And yet if you have to look at this person, you will not even think that this person could be involved in such a serious disease. So this subject is something that hurts. When a person is indulging or engaging in any kind of sin and it is mentioned, then it hurts. If I have to give wazifas here, that read this so many times, you'll get so much sawab. Read Ishraq, you'll get so much sawab. Chasht, you'll get so much sawab. And read this tasbih so many times, you'll get so much sawab. Then it won't hurt anybody. Everybody will feel happy and comfortable. And who does not know what is happening in Jenin and in Ramallah and in other parts of Palestine at present, or in Kashmir or Chechnya or Bosnia? It hurts, there's no doubt it hurts, and I am also deeply hurt, and my heart bleeds. I make dua for them, and in whichever way we can assist them, we should be assisting them. But we know that all our efforts are falling on deaf ears. The more we are talking about it, the more they are becoming obstinate, arrogant, and they are trying to prove a point that we will smash you, we will crush you, we will defeat you, we will massacre your little babies and children and have no concern. It is happening. But we must go on with what we have to do. The enemies, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them some rope. But the day we come right, things will change. So we should look at what our actions are. Now I can speak on that subject every Jummah if I wish to. But then it will make us very comfortable. We may even shed a few tears. And we will make some dua, and we will sacrifice a few rands, and we will think that we have done our duty. So those subjects don't hurt. It causes no pain on our heart to change ourselves. But what I am mentioning now, it is serious matter. When our young people are going to get affected with AIDS, and I repeatedly say that we should not think that it's an azab on every person. There are little children who have been affected. So many others have been affected, but they are innocent victims. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will sort out on the day of Qiyamah. But I am talking about those who have become so addicted to visiting the escort agencies and prostitute quarters then it is time that we make tawbah from it. It pleased me so much when a person came to me after the Jummah talk and he said, "Maulana, I don't want to leave here before making tawbah and asking Allah Ta'ala to forgive these sins that I've been indulging in. I don't want to leave here without making sincere tawbah, and I want you to be a witness that I made this tawbah." I said, "May Allah Ta'ala give you istiqamat and steadfastness in this tawbah." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has warned. There is no punishment you can find. Look at the punishment that Islam imposes. That if the person is not married, the woman is not married, then there will be 100 lashes. But the person who is proven guilty, and of course the evidence also is very, very difficult to find to prove zina, because the punishment is so severe. So the type of evidence that is required also is very severe. But when the evidence is found, then the person must be stoned to death. Now you think Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, would he have been able to see an ummati of his stoned to death? But it was to set an example for the ummah to come, that it is considered as a very, very serious sin. So from all sides we are being invited towards zina. Our internets are inviting towards zina. All the publications and all the media is inviting towards zina. I don't know whether I mentioned in the majlis of mine or in a Jummah bayan, but many people have been caught visiting these type of places. They were not in that line, or they were not in that kind of a habit, but just reading those columns, the temptation came to pick up the telephone. First they engaged in the telephone conversations, which were filthy, and afterwards they ended up in the actual acts. So we should not be even reading those type of articles, not allowing such kind of newspapers and magazines to flood our homes and our rooms. For we do not know what those little children are then doing after that, or what our young boys and girls are doing after that. Then we say that what, if we don't provide it, they will get it at the neighbor's house, or they will get it somewhere else. Yes, they will get it there, but does that mean that if you don't provide the poison, they will go somewhere else and have the poison, so I rather bring the poison in my home and give it to them? So let us not become blinded. Let us not find excuses. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that not once, he says, it was not once that I heard Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention a certain incident. Now we have been talking about the harms. We have been talking about what azab Allah ta'ala sends, how the barakat of the risk and sustenance is taken away, how there will be massacres, there will be murders, there will be killings, there will be fear that will grip that community, there will be famine, there will be diseases which the forefathers never heard of. Now all those things we have heard. Now let us talk about the benefits and the advantages and the rewards that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to those people who are tempted but they stay away. Temptation will come, there is no doubt about that. If we were all born angels, then there was no question of temptation. But then where was the test? The test is that there is temptation, but the person does not fall for that temptation. Nabiyye Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, that not once, it was not only once that I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mention this. He says, 7 times I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention this incident of Kifl. His name was Kifl, and he was in the Bani Israel time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he was madly in love with this woman, and he tried in every way to seduce this woman. He offered her everything that he could have, but she was a pious woman and she refused to submit to his seduction. Finally, there was famine or drought or something of that kind, and because of poverty, extreme poverty and starvation, this woman, because she was related to this person, must have come and asked for some aid and assistance. So he thought that now this is the weak point. I have now got her where I wanted to. I'm giving you an explanation. So he offered her a certain amount of money. Because of her condition, and we must take a lesson from this, is this what we are doing? There are some who are prostitutes by profession, and there are some who may have adopted that profession because of poverty, because of starvation, because of some other kinds of problems. We do not know. We are not justifying it. But what I am saying is that in the light of this incident, now this person says that finally I gave her a certain amount of money and she agreed to submit to my evil desires. But just before we could engage in the evil action, she started crying. She became hysterical. So I said, but I did not force you. You were a willing partner. All that I did is gave you a certain amount of money which you wanted. But I am not raping you. So she said, I fear Allah. It was this poverty that led me to ask you for some money. So he says, immediately the thought came into his heart that here is a woman who is in such a weak position at present, but she says, I fear Allah. Then why should I, as a man, not fear Allah? So I said, you can keep the money too. And I made sincere tawbah. I made rujoo ila Allah. I turned towards my Allah and I asked him for forgiveness. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam related this incident. And then he said that on that same day, this person passed away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he died on that same day. The angels wrote on his door, قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِكِفْ. On the door the people could read, because he was a very sinful one. He used to indulge in sins very openly. He was not a pious person. People knew him very well as a person who is indulging in a lot of sins. But then they saw on his door written that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven kifr. It was because of his that khawf that came into him and he restrained himself from that zina. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgave all his sins of the past too and gave him that kind of position and status. That the angels, Allah Ta'ala made them write on his door. So the benefits are also tremendous. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has mentioned many incidents. In the books of hadith you find many incidents. And also in the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in their lives, and in the lives of others who are pious and saintly, we get many incidents. But let me give you another one incident in the life of Sulaiman bin Yasar. He and his companion, they began to travel out, or they moved from Madina Sharif, they were going now to Makkah Sharif to perform Hajj. Now those days they used to walk and go, and it used to take days and days. So they came to a certain place and they rested. So one of the companions went in search of food. He went to buy some food. The other companion, Sulaiman bin Yasar, who was a very, very handsome person, a young person, so he remained behind in the tent. So a woman comes out from the mountainside, a very pretty woman, and now here she was trying to seduce him. So what he did is he did the same thing, started crying, asking Allah Ta'ala for protection. Now we can see that here there is a test that is coming. Tests will come. So he began to cry and ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. When she saw that he's just crying one way, so she went away. After a little while, when his friend comes back, he says, why are you crying? He says, no, I thought of the children. He says, how can you be thinking of the children? We are hardly a day or two away, and in the past you never thought of them like that. So then he related the true incident. So his friend also started crying. So he asked him that, why are you crying now? He says, I am crying because if I was in your place, I would have fallen for this trap. I would have fallen for the temptation. I would have committed the zina. So therefore I am crying that how weak my iman is and how strong your iman is, that you restrained yourself and you resisted the temptation. When they reached Makkah Mukarrama, after having made the tawaf and completed their umrah, when he went to sleep, he saw Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the dream. And he asked him, are you that same, who are you? He said, I am Yusuf, so and so. He said, that same Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what a strange incident it was in your life, that you were being seduced by Zulaikha, and she was a pretty woman, and the wife of the Aziz of Misr, and you could have had all the treasures of Misr, but you preferred to go to the prison but not to indulge in zina. Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yadunani ilay. O Allah, the prison is far more beloved to me. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, to go into the prison is far more beloved to me than to submit myself to that which they are calling me towards. In Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's path, if the person goes into prison because he is trying to suppress this evil desire of his, he says that going into the prison is like being in a garden. It's far more beloved to me, he says, than committing that zina. Because when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes a little bit of a person's life, then he gives him 100 lives. He takes one and he gives him 100. He takes away a thorn and he gives him a garden. Takes away one flower and gives him a whole garden. We have to make that little sacrifice. So then Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam tells him in the dream, yes, but your incident is even more surprising than mine, because he was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He was protected from sin. There was no question of him indulging in sin. He said, but you an ordinary ummati, and you restrained yourself in such a situation. So that was even more surprising. Now imagine how much of satisfaction that must have given to him. And that is in this world. Allah Ta'ala then gives that person the sweetness of Iman in his heart. And how many times you have heard that we must not think that the sweetness of Iman is just a fantasy world, that there is no such thing as sweetness of Iman. How many times you have heard that who is it that puts that sweetness into that sugarcane? That sugarcane, billions of tons have been already produced, or billions of tons of sugar have already been produced from that sugarcane. What is it? Outwardly you look at it, it's nothing but bamboo sticks. From the ground Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts the sweetness into that stick. And that sweetness after that sweetens our jalebis and mitais and tea and sweets and chocolates. So if Allah Ta'ala can put sweetness into stick, cannot He put sweetness into our hearts? It's a different kind of sweetness. When that sweetness comes, then the person has got a connection with his Allah. He finds sukoon, he finds peace, he finds tranquility. That restlessness goes, those anxieties and worries that the person has, which are the outcome of indulging in sins, all those things go away. Allah Ta'ala gives him a beautiful life. Don't look at his outward condition. What Allah gives, He gives it inside so that the person can't see it from the outside. Otherwise we will chase after it because we saw it with our eyes. We must believe in the ghaib. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he said, we must believe in it, that Allah Ta'ala will give that person the sweetness of Iman, and he will enjoy and taste that sweetness. So those are benefits after that. And then Allah will give him barakat in his rizq too. Allah Ta'ala will give him plentiful of barakat in the sustenance that he will provide for him. It won't be such that the person is just earning and earning and it seems like there is no end to his earning, but at the same time there is no end to his greed and there is no satisfaction of any kind and there's no contentment, and the person always says that there's no, I can't see any barakat. I earn so much, I don't know where it goes. If Allah Ta'ala gives life and another opportunity to continue, inshallah we will. But at this stage what I wish to get across to you is that time is running out. We all are sinful. None of us can claim that we are perfect, we are pure, we are clean. There is no blemish. We haven't done anything wrong in our lives, or we are not doing anything wrong. None of us can claim that. Including myself, we all are in the same boat. But one thing we all can do is that once we have realized where we have gone wrong, where we have erred, what mistake we have made, then we should not remain foolish. We should open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, take a lesson, and then make amends, make a change. And Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, so merciful. Wallahi, He is so merciful. Let us take a step towards Him and see how merciful He is. Wallah, I'm telling you, Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. We can see, in spite of all the sins that we are committing, if He is giving us so much to eat and drink, where else will we find another merciful Allah? There is no one besides Him. He is our Sahara. There is no support for us besides Allah's support. Turn towards Him. Never mind whatever we have may have done in our lives. But turn towards Him. Repent. Ask for maafi and forgiveness. and then take the path of the pious and the righteous, inshallah, we'll see within a few days we'll find the changes in our heart. Now this is the need of the time, not philosophical speeches. Speeches we have got unlimited nowadays. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you and the entire ummah with the tawfiq of amal. And brothers, make a lot of dua for our brothers and sisters and children in Palestine and other parts of the world. When we read those articles or when we listen to the news, it sometimes makes us lose hope, but we should not lose hope at all. Difficult conditions have come upon the ummah, and afterwards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala again gave them elevation. May Allah Ta'ala restore their dignity, remove their difficulties, hardships and problems. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.